Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. We're joined today by Rory Cutluoglu, Chief Operations Officer of Cloudbreak Discovery. How are you today, Rory?
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Did I get your pronunciation of your name right? I always struggle with Cutluoglu. Is that okay?
It's Cutluoglu, and I probably just said it wrong as well. So the G's silent and...
silent, Cutluoglu.
Cutluoglu.
Yeah. Brilliant. Got it. Rolls off.
And where's this name from originally, Rory?
So it's Turkish. My dad was born in Ankara, and he let me run around saying Cutlola for a long time. And then I met a couple of really good Turkish geologists. We were doing a porphyry field school, and they said, "I'm terribly sorry, Mr. Rory, but you're saying your name wrong." Like, I tell my siblings, and we corner my dad, and I go, "Dad, why are you letting me say my name wrong all these years?" He says, "I don't know why you say it wrong. I say it right." And he just walked out of the kitchen. It was pretty hilarious. So I'm a little bit nervous.
He moved to Canada then from Turkey when you were born.
Yeah, all over Europe and the US, and then he moved to Canada. I want to say 74, and so he finished up high school in Canada and then went to McGill in Montreal.
This week we saw the news that Cloudbreak Discovery and Alianza Minerals signed an option agreement with Allied Copper for the advancement of the Klondike project, Colorado. Do you want to tell us more about this deal?
Yeah. So, you know, the alliance was formed around, I'd worked with the guys at Alianza at Rimfire and Kiska, and then Rob and I actually we were founders in Evrim, which is now Orogen. And it was, you know, you never have enough time to do everything you're thinking about. And so what happened was we kind of bumped into that reality of they were doing some stuff. They've got a gold project that they were working on. And, once you go into the U.S., there's all these ideas that you want to pursue. And so Kyler and I had actually looked at this neck of the woods back in, I think it was 2015, 2016. We're looking at a project south of Moab that it was actually pursuing lithium brines. And you play on Google Earth, you look at the project, you're looking at the geologic maps, you're bouncing back and forth. And we actually did identify the Paradox Basin as pretty interesting target for both. And we were thinking in the brines category, but it's actually too small. So it's not a big enough basin to concentrate the fluids the way we had hoped. But we did notice that it was a perfect host for these sediment hosted, but copper mineralization where you've got these sandstones soaking up the fluids and it's a nice basin. So you've got the trap, you concentrate the fluids. And so when the guys at Alianza actually said, "Hey, we're looking at this idea here," we jumped on it and said, "That's great." And so you've probably seen as well, you know, we've got Klondike, we did a surface program there, surface results of over 6% copper in grab, I think it was 4.5 meters. And where we're, it's not just, you know, the shiniest rock goes in the bag, they're doing a chip sample across the outcrop and coming up with these kinds of numbers and good silver credit as well, double digit grams per ton silver. And so it's kind of cool that we tapped into a couple of really smart geos that, you know, one of them lives just south of the project and the other one's a PhD SEG regarded. I read his papers in university, right? So yeah, getting an opportunity to work with these guys, and it was Jay and Rob had been working with them on their gold project, and they said, "Hey, these guys got some ideas," and that's where we formed the alliance and tapped into these projects. And so we've got a couple of projects that are in the Paradox Basin. Lisbon Valley is within eyesight of our state line project.
Yeah, and that's a producing complex, right?
That's right. Yeah. So that's it's three pits. Average grade in there, I think it's around 1.5%. And yeah, they're mining. And so this the State Line project, which we announced that we'd staked a couple of weeks ago here, their next initiative is called the Lone Wolf into the Flying Diamond. And those two resources, they're evaluating for solution mining. And then we're on the other side of the border. We have a little bit in Utah, and then it's basically the extension of the Flying Diamond. And so that's a cool project. And then, but Klondike's a bit more ahead. We got in and going on Klondike, I guess, about 6 months ago, and now we've had a field program there and produced. We've replicated historic results. We've actually added a new showing, and we've got 6 kilometers of strike extent that needs drill testing. And now we've got a partner with Allied. We're excited to advance the project with Allied taking the lead.
Yeah, and their commitments like 4,750,000 CAD over the
next 3 years.
And spending like $500,000 Canadian in the first year.
Yeah.
So what? And can you give us an idea of what that spend would kind of prepare them to do? Obviously, try and prove up the $500 million copper, 0.5%. Do you want to give us a bit more about the sort of staged payments?
So the reason it's staged over the 3 years is you can only do so much in a given year, and genuinely you want to make it so your partner can keep at the table, so to speak. And so it's drill ready, but we want to refine our drill targets. So we're going to do a satellite imagery interp, and we're going to see if we can tease out the alteration and sort of pick the best parts within the structure, because it's, I said 6 kilometers a strike extent of the main faults, but then it's the secondary faults, the splays that are supporting it. You want to pick the best spot in there for your drilling, especially your initial drilling. You want to really take your best kick if you can. So we're going to do that. We're going to fly a mag survey. And then, the first year's drilling, Allied's pretty keen, and we're pretty excited about it. We've actually worked up more holes than we can drill, which is always the best case. And so that initial requirement spend, that $500,000 first year, probably going to blow through it, because we want to test these targets, and Allied, like we as an aggregate, right? Alianza, Cloudbreak, and Allied.
But they're chomping at the bit to get going, really, all of you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're pushing to submit the permits in the next week, very much so. We, as the Alliance, we had worked up the drill targets, in the summer. Cam Barch and I had visited the project with the underlying geologists, Tony and John. And then, I put it to him. I said, look, what's going to make this interesting is if it's drill ready. And at that time, it was very much getting the permits going, getting that rolling, that's drill ready. Because we know, particularly the West Graben showing, which is 2 kilometers on its own, that's ready to go. It's this new finding that they've done on the northern part of the property that's the addition. And so that's where we want the mag. So there's this tertiary gravel sitting over top, and we're pretty excited because it means that the stratigraphy that's preserved is actually not preserved in the southern. So the west graben and the east graben fault system has been eroded down into the other stratigraphy, and so we're excited for the opportunity to test these preserved horizons. And that's the other neat thing about these sedimentary hosted copper deposits. These sandstones, these conglomerates, it's stacked lenses or stacked horizons of good, favorable rock that soaks up those fluids with the copper. And so unlike like a porphyry intrudes and then you kind of have this aerial and that's your thing. In this case, it's a structure, fluids coming through it. You got an opportunity here, you got an opportunity here, you got an opportunity here. So you got these tight cap rocks, these limestone horizons, and then you get into these sandstones and these conglomerates. And each time you get into the right sequence, basically a seafloor or you know, a riverbed outflow, depending on basically how the continent's uplifting or not. And so you get multiple kicks at the can. It's pretty exciting target in that way as well. So we feel on the property, particularly in the West Graben, we've got three different stratigraphies we want to go after in particular. And so we want to drill across the fault. We want to drill across these horizons, and each one is an opportunity to hit copper.
Good. So I saw that Allied had also or will issue 7 million shares to the Alliance over a 3-year period. Yep. And they're just doing a little bit of calculations before I got on the call, and I saw that Allied are listed on the TSX, right? And yep. They're around about TSXV, yeah, so the venture. So they're kind of around the 0.24, 0.25 CAD. 7 million shares, obviously, that's not going to be all to Cloudbreak because it's going to be to the Alliance. But if you take a modest sum of that, sort of like 3.5 mil shares, that's not a bad value over the 3 years for, you know, for 0.25 Canadian. It seems like it's quite a good deal you've negotiated there.
It's actually a little bit better than that when you think about there. It's over the 3 years. If we have success on our drilling, that moves that share price ahead significantly. And that's, you know, that's really the Cloudbreak model, is we come up with these ideas and we partner with people, and that allows us to do all the things at the same time, because Kyler and I are a little bit ADD, and we're just keen to get going on all the things. So as we get partners, we work on these other projects, and while Cloudbreak is doing these other things, Allied is going to be drill testing this over the next couple of years here. And when they hit, it's accretive value right away. So that 1.6 million could become more very quickly, very quickly.
Rory, what type of mine fundamentally will this be? Is this going to be an open pit because it's quite surface bound, or what?
Yeah. So the outcrop's daylight, which is part of how you just get these sort of green outcrops of malachite, copper oxide staining. And so, yeah, it's very much, we're focused on the near term. Do we have enough mineralization to merit an open pit? But because we've got this stacked stratigraphy, there is opportunity for, and we're genuinely considering how to go forward with solution mining, actually, on the deeper targets. So if we hit mineralization that's, you know, 500 or 600 meters depth, which because everything's sort of moved like this, we actually know that on certain parts of the property, we could be chasing the same mineralization that's at surface is down dropped over here. So It could be 500 meters below surface, and it could still be valid mineralization. We have the opportunity to do solution mining, but also some of the grades that come in, again, 6% is spectacular copper grade. And so at 6%, you can potentially be doing underground mining. All we have to do is define it. The obvious thing we want to do, and the same as Lisbon Valley Mine, we're open pits, the obvious.
In this world today, 1% copper is not amazing, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, 1% economic. I mean, you look at the BC porphyries and they're kind of playing in the 0.25 to 0.5 realm. And as a big open pit, that works, right? And so this is oxide mineralization versus sulfide. So metallurgy is much easier. It's a lot cheaper to process. You can do heap leach. You can do open pit. And then suddenly you're cutting costs at every step of the operation. These spectacular 6%, that's where you start your mine, potentially. And then you're able to work through and below the 1%.
Yeah, I think in the RNS we were talking about effectively 50 million. There was a bonus there in there for 50 million tons of rock
at 0.5.
At 0.5. So maybe 250,000 tons of contained copper, I think that is. Yeah. So based on sort of the sheer volume of rock you talked about, because you said a six-kilometer strike, I think it was. What are the chances that's quite likely? You know, it's
well, and that's where it all sounds like a big number. You know, 50 million tons at 0.5, and 6 kilometers a strike to test. And it is one of those situations where it's like, well, that might be the low watermark. If we get into a system and Klondike proves up to be as mineralized as say Lisbon Valley or some of these other showings that are in the Paradox Basin, then 50 million tons builds pretty quick. And it's one of those ones where it's still early days, so the likelihood of a deposit is still very up in the air. But if we tap in and see that the system's going, that 50 million tons suddenly becomes pretty viable, pretty reasonable. And it is one of those Kyler Hardy specials where he said, this is a reasonable starting point. And Allied agreed, let's do a deal that includes a little bit of sweetener if we actually hit. It's tricky because it is I don't want to give you a likelihood that that happens, but it is, if we start drilling into mineralization of even 10 meter widths, again, it's near surface, it's open pittable, it's very quick, you can build those pounds very quickly. So if the 2022 drilling hits, then I think that it would be reasonable to expect that we would put together a resource of that size. Is that?
Yeah, no, that answers the question. And I suppose more importantly, even though that's obviously, as we say, a bit of a Brucey bonus in terms of if that comes in, but how will the partners' share price be affected if they get anywhere near this sort of amount of copper contained?
Well, Allied should see the biggest gains, both Alianza and Cloudbreak, because it's one of the initiatives we're working on, we should see gains as well. I'm trying to think back to, I think the best example would have been Eagle Plains had optioned a project, and while it was being drilled and they were coming up with good results, their partner company basically ran out of float. There was no shares to be traded, and all of a sudden Eagle Plains was very much doing this because there was demand for product, and the only product was the partnering company. And so, but I don't want to get too ahead of myself because, you know, it's one of 16 things we're doing, and that's the nature of this business model, is we will participate in the successes of exploration, and we limit our, you know, it's exploration, it's The odds are against us, really, geologically. And so we limit our downside. And that's the biggest piece, is we'll participate in the upside and we'll test multiple ideas simultaneously. And, you know, if some of them don't work, it's not the end of the day, right?
Well, here's an interesting question, just to try and put it in perspective for everybody. Let's say you've got 16 projects. Okay. And let's say one of them gets hit for a home run, okay, putting it in baseball context. Is that likely to be worth more than sort of 6.5-7 million pound market cap of CDL?
Yeah, it is. It is the, if we hit on anything, our retained interest is sort of a significant multiplier. You know, 10x is not unreasonable.
No, I just want people to understand that. We've basically got 16 opportunities here. If we benefit from one, probably going to be the market cap of today. If we benefit from two or three or four, then, you know, we're talking about some serious escalation in its true value. And obviously what's happened in Klondike could be one of those, but it literally is only one of those. And that's the important thing to think about. There are many exciting things happening, and not just in North America as well, from previous discussions. So, yeah, that's really just the point. But again, I will ask you again, what is the one project that you're most excited about in the CDL situation?
In the near term, I'm most excited about Temes, to be honest. We've got 15% of the float, 10 million shares, and we're currently underway on a PEA for the Biscanja, the borate project in Serbia. We're in the midst of metallurgy on LaBlanche, and we're hoping to get out drilling at LaBlanche shortly and do a PEA on that. So in the next, when I always think project pipeline, And in the next 6 months, Temas is going to have multiple news events, multiple milestones that we're going to hit on. And I'm most excited about that today. Klondike, we're working on permits to go drill, whereas La Blanche, it's already been drilled, and we're going to go drill a bit more to bring it further along in the process. And so, yeah, so I kind of cheat. I pick a whole company, right? That's exactly it. Yeah. As a project generator, we come up with ideas. Yeah. Kyler and I, you know, we go for pints and we come up with five new ideas. And so as a project generator, Cloudbreak is able to test all of those instead of having to wait. And it is that reality of both Kyler and I have been as contractors and consultants. And so we've had to wait. And Cam Bartsch as well. Like last night, Cam and I were having supper and we were discussing three more things that we want to pursue in 2022. And it takes a fair bit of time to work up the idea, but the advantage is if you work it up right, it's enticing enough that you can bring a partner in and they want to test the idea as much as we do. And so we, you know, like Klondike, we option it off and let them go test it. And we still have an eye on the prize. We're still engaged. And as a partner, we're able to, you know, discuss the things we like about it, see how they want to drill it, see how we want to drill it, and work together and move it forward. And again,
yep,
some pretty impressive option agreement terms, but it's over the 3 years because every year we do a bit more, every year we learn a bit more, but also simultaneous Cloudbreak's doing these other things on these other projects as well.
Yeah. And I mean, I presume that already there is an uplift of what you've invested from the time that you've put in and the effort you've put in and the finances you put in to even just the basic option agreement. This is what it's worth. So there's already an uplift on what you've invested. So it's win-win. I mean, hopefully it's a much bigger win, but it's already a win.
That's right. And it is that reality of we do that phase one program. So We only staked the ground this year. We did a simple surface program and followed up on our exploration thesis and proved up where we're already thinking to drill. And by moving it to drill ready, it becomes that much more valuable right away. And it is, like you say, it's an uplift through the process. So you go from, well, that's a great idea. That's not really necessarily worth anything to anyone. We pursue the idea, we build it up. We've done this phase one field program, which we announced the results of. We've shown, yes, we've got the right idea. We've got the right piece of the Paradox Basin. It's good mineralization. And now it's drill ready. It's suddenly more enticing and we can do these sorts of deals. And that's the project generator. Take an idea, move it to drill ready or close to drill ready, and find a partner and test it.
Sounds like a brilliant model. Rory Kutluoglu, Cloudbreak Discovery, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, guys.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.